Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time. But for today, we may keep you a little longer.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dana, if I could have done multiple sound effects, I would have had to do multiple sound effects.
Yes, you would have. Yes,
you know why? Because we are joined by others this morning. Hey. We have multiple cups in the room, hopefully filled with hot beverages if you're in a cold part of town or the state. Cold beverages like me, just because I like some sweet tea in the morning. But we have some guests here. Our guests we've had on as guests before. So I'm going to introduce, and we have Anna Faye Robinson, Financial Aid Director at Pierce College, and a current past president of CASFA. Welcome, Anna Faye.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Good morning.
Linda Williams, that's Dr. Linda Williams, Director of Enrollment Management and Financial Aid at Sierra College, way up there in the north, and a past president of CISFA. Good morning, Linda. And Mike Deer, Director of Financial Aid at MiraCosta College down there in the south, and he's the current past president of CISFA. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning.
It's good to have you all here. We wanted to do this kind of pre-holiday special, bring back as many interviewees as possible. We've got a couple that we had to offload to next week's show due to timing, but thank you all for joining us. It's good to see everyone here in the morning. So I want to just put out, we'll just have some general questions and stuff, but let me put out there, and I'll start with, we'll start with Mike, seeing that I rank right below Mike as far as presidents right now. How have you been faring through all of this last fall semester, Mike, let alone this year?
Well, sir, I would say that I've fared better through the fall than I did through the first half of the year.
I gotcha.
You know, it's been an adventure. It's been a challenge. It's been, you know, ups and downs. But, you know, I'm certainly looking forward to the holidays, looking forward to a little bit of time off of Zoom.
Oh, yes.
but, you know, it's been good. Overall, I think things are positive. We've had some good things come out of it. We implemented a couple of new things during the fall that I think are really helping out our students. We have a new award offer that's more interactive and pictures instead of text. And so that's been a good thing. And I think the staff have kind of gotten accustomed to working from home. They're doing better, it seems like, from home than they were when they were in the office. So overall, I think we've fared pretty well.
That's good. Yeah,
so that's us. I will say this. I am worried about the students. I keep reading about, you know, FAFSA's filing being down, especially amongst high school seniors. And anecdotally, just talking to people that don't want to go to school online. And so I think the family, the staff, I think we've done all right. I'm worried about the students.
I got you. Linda, I could see on your face as we are zooming here. You probably got the same concerns too. I'm sure we do, and Anna Faye, but what are your thoughts on some of this, Linda?
Oh, I agree with Mike. Our students, they thought they were coming into the fall term all gung-ho and registering for 12 or more units, and they really thought that they could do this virtual environment, and it is. It's hard. It's hard to be disciplined. I mean, there's got to be an inner drive for this sort of work. Mm-hmm. And if you don't possess that unique inner drive key, then they're suffering. And so we have had more conversations with students and families trying to navigate how to gracefully come out of so many units when they realize they just couldn't do it.
Absolutely.
It's hard. And when you're used to an environment of palling around socially with your friends in high school or even in college, and in this virtual thing, I mean, you're just, it's that whole package. They're not getting the package that they're accustomed to receiving. But, you know, we're trying to give them as much grace as allowed. And, you know, we're going to be doing this again next semester. Hopefully we will have learned a few things and how to help students navigate next spring.
I hope so too. Anna Faye, I know, you know, we work in the same district, and we've, just like Linda and Mike, and I'm sure many of our colleagues across the state and across the U.S., we're certainly learning things about ourselves, about our staff, how to better interact. But I assume you have some of the same concerns when it's trying to keep students engaged, make sure students are prepared. What are some of your thoughts on this?
I echo what Mike and Linda has said previously. I was just talking to a colleague yesterday, and pretty much students are just lost. Mm-hmm. Even though we have, you know, provided information, whether it's through email and posting it on our websites and social media, still students don't know where to go to get answers or to get some help. So, one of my colleagues said that they want to receive information as often, even though we're saying, well, I've told you that, you know, the same thing over mm-hmm, and over again. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they say that they just need to hear that several times. And we just have to, you know, empathize with that, because again, you know, they're just scared. I think they're scared, they're lost, and we need to be there for them. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think so the empathy thing is a key thing here. And I learned this when we had Linda on the show just a little matter of weeks ago. And it's funny, Linda, you brought up as your I dare you to listen to person as Brené Brown. And it's interesting because her whole talk is about understanding empathy and things like that. And I listened to another podcast from Alan Alda. I think we're all in the age group. We know the name probably.
Yep.
Big time actor on MASH and movies and directing and all. He's been doing things with scientists. You know, he did Scientific American probably a decade or so ago. And his whole thing was to try to help scientists and doctors better be able to relate to the public and others when talking about research and all. Because, you know, it's a little like us. We can talk in jargon and acronyms all day. He happened to be interviewing on a show that I'm episodes behind. I'm months behind. Brené Brown. And so I think it's interesting. He was talking to her. And so I understood, Linda, what you were talking about. But why don't you talk about this? I mean, empathy is such a key thing, not just for our staff and everyone else, but it is really key for students.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's something really unique about empathy, I think, that you have to set yourself up for. You have to have a mindset and go in with the mindset change to be empathetic to every, even for yourself. We forget about ourselves, not just our students, but you need to learn that mindset before you can be empathetic. So if you've got a difficult conversation or something that's in front of you that you're not feeling good about, you need to take a beat, take a reflection, and then approach the empathy that's from within.
Mm. You know, Miss Linda, what I try to do is I try to imagine what if I was in their situation. You know, what if the tables were turned? How would I feel? And, you know, how would I feel if I was on the receiving end of the information? And then it kind of puts it in perspective and helps you to, you know, again, better have empathy, better have understanding, and give you the strength, you know, to be, you know, better assist students.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's perfect, Dana. Perfect.
Yeah, I know as a person reviewing petitions in the office, and I just probably looked at enough to glaze over my eyes yesterday to get the semester done. You know, trying to be understanding. I mean, it's one thing when you see the EW grades that we use for excused withdrawals for spring, which most of our campuses switched to pretty quickly in order to account for the fact that we had COVID hitting. But even into the summer and the fall and trying to see, you know, how students were, for some of them, making a slow adjustment to this whole world and thinking that they could still take on, you know, as it's been said, you know, the 3, 4, 5 classes and finding the reality. You think that because you would think that, oh, I'm just home all the time, you know, and I could just be doing as many classes as I want. But the reality is you may have others at home. I'm sure many of you have other people at your house. They may be on a computer. And then if you have small kids, they're on computers. And I know because I've got some coworkers, when I see them on meetings, I've got a couple of them who both work for like the district and they have the same office. So you see them next to each other. And it's funny when they're both on Zooms, you see and hear them both. It's like, okay, I'm doing two meetings at once. So yeah. I'm sure another thing that we have to, you know, learn to contend with. Anna Faye, did you have something on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, Dana, we have to put ourselves in their shoes. And what you said about, you know, just because we're home doesn't mean that the students have a lot of time in their hands or, oh, they can do the Zoom all day long. You know, it's not like that. They, like I said, they have other family members living at home. I mean, you know, we're probably in this room right now. We're fortunate that we have our own probably office or we have a quiet space that we can do conduct our work, but our students may not have that luxury and we have to understand that, you know, but anyway, yeah.
And I think we find, go Mike.
I was just going to say even many of our students who have younger siblings that they have to help get on because parents are out, you know, my wife works outside of the house. And so I'm here with our two girls who are 8 and 10. And I'm often having to sort of do tech support or sort of help them with their Zoom, keep them in Zoom. And then, you know, then I'm back here and I'm trying to run Zoom meetings with my staff or participate in somewhat important Zoom meetings with, you know, the upper administrators about some, you know, whatever budget, AB-19, CARES Act, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. So it's tough as a parent who's home with your kids, but if you're a, you know, sort of a community college student and you have younger siblings and the parents, you know, are out of the home, it falls on you to help your younger siblings. That's even more of a tax on your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
I think when you see the what looks like the panacea of online education, when you see the commercials for our largest schools that are out there, you know, the Southern New Hampshire universities, even I saw one for Coursera recently, which is that free, you know, free course type of thing that you can do. It really is an interesting world out there of trying to understand what kind of adjustments have to be made, because I don't want to say it's easy when you go to campus every day or you go to work, like you were saying, Mike, with your spouse. You can put that divide in life. You know, you're at work. You know, you think back 40 years ago without cell phones, you know, for my mother to get a hold of my dad meant calling somebody at the office and interrupting his day. Now it's a matter of people just yelling around a corner. Stuff like that. Yeah. It's a whole new world of things going on.
But there's also, the positive side of remote work while we are assisting students. We can be available to students when it's convenient for them, let's say, right? Because, you know, well, when we're back at work, okay, you could say our office is only open from 8 to 5, let's say, right? But then you have students who are working and they could only be available, let's say, at 7 at night. So I have staff that work till 7:30. So, you know, then we can adjust that instead of, you know, driving to the campus, you know, and that saves them time to, you know, commute, and they could just Zoom in and assist them at 7 at night, you know, while if we're back in the campus, oh, the doors are closed, you know. So that's a positive side of working remote, which I think a lot of students we've heard they really appreciate, because we could be available more hours, I would say, than being on campus.
And on a personal note, I'll say it's really simplified my wardrobe. It is It is all down to,
you know, that's right.
This is an exactly. ugly sweatshirt, as you can see by the collar being completely blown out. It's either sweatshirts or hoodies, like Anna Faye's got her Pierce College hoodie
Pierce
on.
College
and
hoodie.
I can see Mike looks like a sweatshirt kind of material there. Oh, nice T-shirt. And
T-shirt.
And I know co-host Dana there always has some kind of nice hoodie on there. Is that a D for Detroit Lions, Detroit Tigers? Is that what's going on?
If you say so, it's my Disneyland shirt.
Disneyland, you know. Okay.
Since we can't go.
The Detroit Tiger D, that's pretty close there, you know, I'm going to say. You know. Yeah. I know you're more of a fan of Disneyland than the Tigers, so that's okay. Not as much into the baseball world, and that's okay. That's okay, Dana.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. No worries there. Let me see if I see Ken is pulled up on the board. Ken, if you want to say a few words here and just say hi.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. Sorry. Morning. I knew about the meeting. I just been driving in Irvine today. So
no problem.
Two-hour drive.
So. No problem. You're live on the show. If, like I said, Ken, why don't you drive safely this holiday weekend and join us then on the Tuesday show where we're going to have our other interviewees joining us. We have David Shook. I'm already putting it out there. David Shook and Tamara Shinar are going to join us on next week, Tuesday's show in the morning. So Ken, why don't you join us there and you just keep safe driving.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much. And I'm going to talk to you before Christmas. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Absolutely, sir. You too. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
You always can. Take care.
All right.
Thank you, Ken.
Take care. Mm-hmm. Drive safe.
Bye.
Bye. So, yeah, he was already on the move. People moving around, I know. Certainly at this time of day. Well, I think we'll talk a little bit about holiday plans and stuff like that, but let's do a little bit of a musical interlude here so we can move into our second cup part of the show, everyone.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
That's right, everyone. It's time to refill your cups on our extended version holiday show here with some of our past interviewees. Anna Faye Robinson from Pierce College, past president of CASFA. Linda Williams from Sierra College, past president of CISFA. Michael Deere, who is the current past president of CISFA, and of course, Dana Yarbrough, my co-worker out there at LA Mission College or in the nearby vicinity, we would say. So welcome back to the show. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about holidays and all, because I know we're taping this on Friday, December 18th. The show hopefully will get released sometime later today live and hopefully have a bunch of listeners. But I assume for some of you, I know I'm taking some vacation days in the next couple weeks, and our staff are too. How about yourselves? Let's start with Linda on this. What are your plans, Linda?
Well, my personal plans are right here. I'm going to build some new garden beds. I'm not leaving much, except to venture to a lumberyard. But
all right,
my team and I are departing for our holiday starting at about noon today, and we all come back on the 4th. And we've even got some of my staff who were encouraged to do so by our administration to take 3 weeks off. You know, 1 week would be with their own vacation time, but they're supporting a 3 week vacation.
Okay.
As my colleagues probably can attest, this has been a tough semester, summer, even when we all pivoted last March. But it's been really tough on our financial aid offices, the burden of hearing such distressful stories, and we just are real concerned about their mental health. So we've encouraged everybody to take 3 weeks off. It's either going to be all this week or the first week of January 4th. So we're going to be hopefully charged when we get back and ready to help our students.
That sounds awesome. I Dana, if you really want to take a few more extra days, pass that through the financial aid supervisor of our office. I don't make those decisions.
Will. I will definitely advocate for that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How about you, Mike? What are you planning on doing?
So we are closed for a week. The campus, we close the 24th through the 1st. That's the typical annual campus closure. And I typically take some extra use my vacation time, take a little extra time. So today is my last day.
Okay.
And I'm not back until I think the 11th. 12th. So it'll be three weeks for me. And some of my staff are taking time off. Some of my staff prefer to save their vacation time for other times of the year, which is fine. And so, yeah, we'll be, my family's up in Northern California. My wife's family is in Oklahoma City. We won't be traveling to see any of them. But we do like to camp. And so we are at some point, probably between Christmas and New Year's-ish, we'll go out to the desert here east of San Diego and do a little bit of socially distant camping in the middle of the desert where it's kind of relatively safe. So.
Oh, that sounds great. I it's good to hear you're taking some of that time.
Great.
Anna Faye, what are your big plans other than, knowing you just cut back from 60 hours a week work and emails at all hours of the day and night? Are you going to cut back a little bit?
Well, I'm working next week, believe it or not.
Okay.
So 3 days next week. And I'm taking the last week of December and coming back on the 4th. We have a skeleton crew the next couple weeks. At our campus, though, the administration is encouraging everyone to take vacation, but we have some staff members that are working. But like I said, it's a skeleton crew, and they have, I'm sure, projects that they need to work on. So that's about work. And personally, normally, and I think Dennis knows this, that, we love to travel, but unfortunately, we can't travel at all this time. Normally, we would go out of the country.
Yeah, you like the international stuff. That's...
Yeah, we do international travel during the holidays. And I miss that. But anyway, so maybe what we'll do is probably just ride, our motorcycle somewhere and probably go up north to San Luis Obispo or something like that.
That sounds fun.
Down to San Diego and visit you there, Mike. But,
sounds nice.
Socially distanced visit. She'll pull up near your house and wave.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Dana?
But yeah, that's, I'll talk about it later on, but, and then also I'm preparing for my class in the spring.
Oh, that's right. Good old Dana is doing the teaching. Anna Faye is, but Dana, you've done the teaching too, but I wanted to ask you about, Dana, are you taking some time off? Are we allowing you to take some time off?
Oh, absolutely. I'm out.
Okay.
Dana out.
Yeah. Okay.
Mic drop out.
Yeah. See, it's an interesting quandary because I know I talked to one of our coworkers in the office and they're going to work next week because we're only going to keep our counters open for a part of the day, for one. Second, we are skeleton crewed too. So there's probably like three people and maybe a student worker if we're lucky. But, it's a good way to get caught up on a few things. When you're going to campus, that's one thing to kind of skip out on that. And I thought about it myself, too, but I decided I want the flexibility like you guys, which is not to do anything, which just like probably most of my vacation, at least in the last 4 to 5 months, has been me telling my boss, if you really need me, get me by cell phone. I'll be doing stuff for the association, which means that it ends up being a CISFA vacation, not from CISFA, but to do stuff for CISFA. And I assume Mike and Linda and Anna Faye, you as all presidentes across the association, have probably done the same things as you've had time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the only time we
You have to find the nooks and crannies everywhere to put it in. Yeah,
yes. Because I'm sure, Mike, we can say we are busy working for our association, getting our conference for spring up and running. I think we've got so many of the pieces going, and we'll have more pieces put together here in the next week or so that we're going to have a fantastic virtual conference, hopefully to rival that other association in the state, CASFA. Anna Faye, of course, was president up until through her conference. And Anna Faye, I got to say, I presented at it. I wasn't able to go to many sessions due to timing, but again, thinking about virtual conferences, I think it came off really well. And you had good numbers, right?
Yes, we did. We had over 500, and we had several out-of-state colleges and universities attended because we did invite, you know, WASFA region to attend the conference.
Yeah, you can really kind of branch out, Mike.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to agree with Dennis. I thought I thought it was a great conference. You know, the online stuff's been tricky. Certainly, the FSA conference got off to a little bit of a bumpy start, but
yes,
you guys did not have those sort of problems and goblins and stuff. It was a great conference, and y'all did a great job.
Yes.
Well, we have, you know, I was very fortunate. Cass was very fortunate to have Tom Lay, who's the, you know, was the conference chair, and he was behind the scenes navigating and orchestrating everything. Without him, I don't know what I would have done. But yeah, it was a great support team, pretty much from the EC, CASFA EC, and everybody else. And we got wonderful presenters. So I just want to thank everyone.
Yeah, your production staff was fantastic. Tom and Cheryl,
yes,
in the background, because we had everything working fine. About 5 minutes in, I got a little slow for some reason. She came on, told me to reset. 5 seconds it took at the most. Boom, we were back and running and everything. And everything was just working well. Fantastic. The Q&A and all. So it can be done. It takes some time. We are working on our stuff ourselves, me and Mike. We always get the support of the California Community Colleges Foundation staff. You know, throw out mad props to Cameron and Carolyn. And once she gets back into the office or back into the swing of work, Yush, who've helped us with site selection, in this case now, virtual site selection as far as back stuff. And then they'll help us through so much of the logistics on this whole thing. It can be done. And like you said, you can increase your outreach to, like you said, WASFA. I mean, because who's to say why not show up at a conference, even if it's not from your state?
Correct. And, you know, we had the Department of Ed, and the topics were, you know, like verification and things like that, that pretty much, you know, it's for everyone, right? It's not specifically California.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Very relevant to the field in general.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little like this podcast, like we were saying in the pre-show, we're easily the second most popular podcast out there about financial aid in a field of probably two.
Who knew?
Exactly.
Financial aid?
We're right on, really? We're nipping on the heels of Justin Drager and that off-the-cuff group from NASFA. But yeah, our show gets downloaded outside the state of California, so hopefully... in some ways, maybe some people at NASFA are monitoring us. Maybe people at FSA are listening in to see what's out there for topics, because that's kind of what these shows are about, you know, connecting with people, covering the relevant topics. But, you know, I think, Dana, what did we do about a month or so ago? We did an episode or two about nothing but acronyms and abbreviations.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. Uh-huh.
And ran through all the popular ones.
Yeah, I remember that. You tortured me.
That's right. But Dana now knows the difference of a SAR from an ICER.
Yeah, I do.
And she knows everything from iPeds to SAIG, I think. wonderful acronyms we all have here in our field, right?
Well, it was a very long list.
Who knows? We may see SAIs and...
Oh, my goodness. That's right. The return of the SAI. Well, we'll have to Anna Faye, we're just going to have to dedicate another show to this.
Okay.
I think you should.
In the coming year. No doubt. Without a doubt, we'll do that. Well,
was anybody in this group working the last time that we had the student aid index before it switched to EFC?
I believe so. That was in the 80s. I mean, when did that when did that stop?
That may predate
me. I remember we have FAFNARs.
Confirm or deny
FAFNARs.
I shouldn't have asked. My bad.
Yeah, that may have just predated me. I started in financial aid mid-90s, but I remember as a student, at least, I will date myself here, everybody. When I first did the FAFSA to go to college, undergrad, it was still the paid form. But it was like my last, it was funny too, it was like my last senior year, because I had two senior years. It was finally the FAFSA, so it was free. But I also, on my SAR, my student aid report, I remember seeing the message of there is a 5-year limit on Pell. Back in those days, it was a 5-year limit on Pell, and you are into your fifth year, so you better hurry up. So I knew that I was finishing my undergrad that year, without a doubt.
I started in the late 80s, but I remember FAFNARs and the Pell payment sheets where you have to bubble in, and that dates us, huh, Linda?
Oh my gosh. How about the FISAP, you guys, filling in the grids hand on a FISAP?
I remember. Ooh. I remember. Yes, it was all paper.
We're going to have to do a war stories kind of episode.
Why don't we
do
that? That's a great topic.
Yeah. We can wear
Back to the Future or something.
Well, I will tell you, and I'm working on real briefly. I'm working with a retired financial aid director from our field, Pat Hurley, about potentially. Oh. I asked her to come on the show months ago, and she, she's been doing a variety of things. She may help do an oral history of financial aid, and we're going to incorporate that into the podcast. So expect that sometime in the new year, everyone. But Mike, I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, it's along those same lines. What I was going to recommend, if you can, is one of the legends in our industry that I got to work with, as did Linda, actually, way more than I did. Adelou Davis. At some point she was writing a book. She'd be a great guest to have on the
that
show.
That is a fantastic. I don't know, Dana, if you've ever met Adelou, but she's a wealth of knowledge and just a fireball.
Okay,
to put it nicely,
fireball
and brilliant, just brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I heard Linda say that Linda's in contact with her, and I just
wonderful
exchanged all a couple of messages with her not too long ago. So.
Well, Linda, we may have to help you coax her onto the show. Then we'll come into springtime here. I think that'd be awesome.
I would love to be a part of that. She would love it. Love it.
All right. These are all great ideas. See, this is why we have back the minds of the association and all. But it is that time again. Let's do a little musical interlude and move ourselves into our last segment of the show. And just like that, we're already back, and we're back for our last sip segment. So everyone get that last sip on of whatever beverage you're drinking at this time of day or night, or whenever you're listening to our show. So normally this is where we do, and I dare you to read, listen, watch, etc. Let's find out there if anyone's got a selection. Dana, you haven't said too much because you're just sitting there watching and monitoring and all that stuff. Dana, do you have an I dare you to selection for us today?
Well, absolutely. So during the pre-show, we talked about The Mandalorian. So definitely to our listeners, you got to check it out. Stop sleeping on it. Get on that. Email us about it so we could talk about it.
That's right.
And then go out and buy yourself a baby, buy yourself a child toy.
The child. Yes, exactly. Child. Exactly. How about you, Mike? You have any I dare you to selections for the crowd?
I dare you to unplug.
Absolutely.
For at least a few days over the holiday break. Just no Zoom, maybe put down talk Insta and Facebook for 1 or 2 days, something, but just unplug and disconnect.
Good, good advice. How about you, Linda?
Oh, you know, I second Mike. I think that we should be unplugged for sure, but I have an 8 and a 10-year-old here at the house, and I have learned to watch Disney all over again, the Disney Channel Plus. So I dare you to watch Maleficent.
Oh, Maleficent. Okay.
Yes. I thought that was a, well, of course, I'm an adult. I thought it was a great message movie, but it was really awesome effects besides The Mandalorian, which today is a new episode. Can't wait.
Uh-huh.
I second that, Linda. Did you see, you know, there's two of them. So watch them both. Yeah, there's two. I have two little girls. Uh-oh. I have two little girls. They're 8 and 10, and we've seen them both, and they're great.
They're teaching me how to be childlike again. These kids are my niece and nephew are teaching me how to be child again, and I just love it. Just love it.
Well, maybe lend one out there to Anna Faye. I don't think Anna Faye's got the young ones running around anymore, but
no,
get you back into the Disney. But Anna Faye, do you have yourself an I Dare You To selection for our people?
Oh boy. Well, I think I echo what Mike was saying is, you know, we dare everybody to unplug and just enjoy the holidays. I know you're going to be probably at home, but enjoy your time without any Zoom and internet activity and things like that. And just be with family and, you know, go outside and walk. And that's what my husband and I you know, at the end of the day, you know, after work, just walk for, you know, 40 minutes and
yes,
be outside. Yeah.
Get some fresh air. You can still do that in our COVID social distancing time. I will second that myself. I'll throw out there is my, I dare you to, if you're going to watch any TV at all, considering if you're watching the news, it's fairly depressing and, you can all, it's easy to go in that spiral down on things. Probably one of my favorite shows on TV is Hometown on HGTV. If you haven't watched it,
I love that show.
It is the best. There's nothing satirical, sarcastic in it. It's this couple, and they're a young couple, Ben and Aaron Napier. He looks like a gigantic lumberjack, and she's this like tiny little lady. And they live in Laurel, Mississippi, and they are renovating house by house. And there's a lot of historic houses in their town. And first of all, people from California watch the show to see the prices of the houses, and it'll just make you cry, right? It's like we have a full budget of $140,000, and we're buying a house at $70,000. So it's hilarious. But they're just great people renovating their town, and they're just sweet as can be. And it's just all uplifting as far as the characters that come through the show and the people they're doing it for. So that is my pick on TV. When they run a marathon of that during the day, you know, it just fills me with a good feeling about people because it's all good people doing good things. So
say the name again, Dennis.
The show is Hometown. And it's on HGTV, Home and Garden TV. So they definitely run that on a more
they're
regular
so genuine
basis. Exactly.
They're very genuine and
they're just
kind.
Great people. Exactly. Well, everybody, we are just really about out of time. We're running right up to where I thought we would run with a show like this. So there's always another episode and more people to come next week. Expect some of our other interviewees on the show. I want to thank today, though, our guests, Michael Deere, Anna Faye Robinson, Linda Williams, and of course, my co-host Dana, for joining us on the show today. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CSFA website at CSFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCSFA@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CSFA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. Or for those using Apple devices, open up your podcast app. To find us, just search for CSFA. You'll find us. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. And that's the words pod and bean as one word. And now you can not only find us on Spotify, but you can find us on Pandora.
Hey, What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
And this has been episode number 47, recorded the morning of Friday, December 18th, 2020.
Have a great day.
And have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
Happy holidays,
y'all. Happy holidays, everybody.
Have a great weekend. Happy holidays. Thank you all for joining us.